This is In the News for November 16th, 2005. I'm Scott Bergwin of KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story is from melbourne.indymedia.org. That's Melbourne spelled M-E-L-B-O-U-R-N-E dot indymedia. India spelled I-N-D-Y. This is dated yesterday, November 15th. It's estimated by the Australian trade unions that more than 500,000 people took part in over 300 protests across Australia today in a show of solidarity against the government's industrial relations laws. Melbourne saw possibly the largest political rally in its history, with 210,000 people clogging the heart of the city, according to the trade unionists, marching in a crowd that reached for 18 blocks. Sydney also saw around 45,000 people gathered in Martin Place after an early morning blockade of the M4 motorway, while Perth, Adelaide, Hobart, and Darwin all saw unprecedented crowds. Regional Australia also came out in force, and it is estimated that 5,000 people took part around the Northern Territory, 10,000 people in regional Western Australia, and 6,000 people outside of Hobart and Tasmania. Meanwhile, across the Tasman, there were solidarity protests in Wellington, Auckland, and Christchurch. The Howard government's industrial relations changes and anti-terrorist legislation are closely linked and are in keeping with the political behavior of Australian conservatism and government. The new sedition law suggests that industrial disputes or industrial matters may be labeled seditious where there is an absence of, quote, good faith, end quote. The reforms further push Australian workplace agreements, with the right to strike effectively being lost while employer use of lockouts is encouraged. Again, that story from melbourne.indymedia.org. Next up, from savethepeaks.org. Peaks trial concluded, no ruling yet. On November 15th, Judge Paul Rosenblatt recessed the trial initiated by the lawsuit brought forth by tribes and environmental groups to protect the environmental and cultural integrity of the San Francisco Peaks from Arizona Snowball's plan for expansion and snowmaking with wastewater. There's currently no word on when a ruling will be made. The Arizona Snowball Ski Resort, located on the San Francisco Peaks in northern Arizona, is attempting to expand its development, clear-cut 74 acres of wilderness, make artificial snow from contaminated wastewater, and more. The peaks are sacred to over 13 Native American nations and home to threatened species. A coalition of tribes and environmental groups have filed a lawsuit against the Coconino Forest Service to stop this proposed development. The Navajo Nation, Hopi Tribe, Huallapai, Havasupai, Yavapai Apache, White Mountain Apache, Sierra Club, Flagstaff Activist Network, Southwest Center for Biological Diversity, Diné Medicines Association, and a Hopi traditionalist have filed the lawsuit against the Coconino Forest Service to prevent the federal agency from allowing Snowball's expansion and snowmaking with wastewater. The tribes and environmental groups challenged that the Forest Service has violated the National Environmental Policy Act and that the approved plan will violate the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Kevin Long of Echoes said, quote, "This is a critical and historic trial that will determine the future of Native American religious freedom and the health of our communities. We are calling on all peoples of all faiths and walks of life to join us and stand up for respect for the environment and the diverse cultures in our community," end quote. Again, that story and more information can be found at savethepeaks.org. And now from afterdowningstreet.org, written by David Swanson, Cindy's Day in Court. Cindy Sheehan has a court date Wednesday morning in Washington, D.C., and faces up to 6 months in jail for the charge of demonstrating without a permit as a result of the civil disobedience action at the White House in September, in which Cindy and nearly 400 other activists protested the war. Some paid a $75 fine. Others, including Cindy, are refusing to pay anything. Some of those refusing to pay are required to appear in federal court at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. They'll be at the federal courthouse at 3rd and Constitution Avenue Northwest, and a group of supporters will be there to hold a vigil at 8:30 a.m. Of course, all these have already happened at the airing of this report. Supporters planning to be there include Congressman John Conyers. Cindy has a second court date pending for a second identical charge dating from a die-in in front of the White House on the occasion of the 2000th death of a U.S. soldier in Iraq. It should be noted that the author of this, David Swanson, was also arrested at that time, as were two dozen others, and he decided to pay his fine. Also happening in D.C. today at 9:30 this morning Eastern Time, the Out of Iraq Caucus, led by Congresswoman Maxine Waters, will be holding a press conference at 1539 Longworth House Office Building to announce a new strategy aimed at bringing a debate on the Iraq War to the floor of the House. The strategy involves a discharge petition, a petition which, if signed by a majority of House members, forces a bill to the floor without having to win approval from any committee. Numerous bills and resolutions on Iraq have been killed in various committees. The bill being used for this, House Joint Resolution 55, is the weakest one out there and has the most Republican support, but the discharge petition will allow amendments once the bill reaches the floor. So the Democrats will be able to propose anything as an amendment on the floor and have it debated. Whether even this weak bill, which calls for beginning to get out of Iraq by October 1, 2006, will garner the necessary 218 signatures to allow a debate to occur may depend on whether the Democratic leadership gets behind it and whether signing it is widely understood as supporting a debate as opposed to supporting this particular bill. A strong proponent of the discharge petition is Congressman Jim McGovern, the sponsor of the strongest bill out there, one which would cut off funding for the war. And related along those lines, a press release taken from Common Dreams Progressive Newswire, sent out by Iraq Veterans Against the War, Veterans for Peace, Code Pink, Gold Star Families for Peace, and the Crawford Peace House. This was released on the 14th of November, titled Camp Casey for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time for families to gather to give thanks and celebrate the year's achievements. In this spirit, the family of Camp Casey and the Crawford Peace Movement will reunite in Crawford, Texas this Thanksgiving to celebrate our work, remember those who are no longer with us, and share our stories, our lives, and the wealth of our community. The past year has seen many tragic milestones in the war in Iraq. Despite the president's assertion that major combat ended last year, military operations have continued and resulted in the destruction of the city of Fallujah, 2,038 American deaths, 200,000 Iraqi deaths, 199 coalition deaths, and 15,353 American soldiers wounded. But this year has also been a year of victories for our movement. This past August, our community united in Crawford with Cindy Sheehan to demand that the president explain the noble cause for which he claims our troops have died. Then on September 24th, we massed over 200,000 people in Washington, D.C. to send a clear message to the world that we do not consent to wars of conquest in our name and demand that the troops be brought home now. Since Hurricane Katrina ravaged Louisiana, claiming over 1,000 American lives, the Crawford Coalition has been providing material assistance to the people of New Orleans while the government struggles under the weight of its own bureaucracy. After we left Crawford at the end of August, McClellan County designated the county bar ditches no-speech zones by making it illegal to camp, eat, or erect a structure for living in them. Additionally, they created a no-parking zone for a 7-mile radius around the Bush Ranch. This is a violation of our constitutional rights to free speech and free assembly. On Tuesday, November 22nd, some of us will challenge this ordinance by gathering in the Camp KC-1 ditch to let George Bush know that he cannot continue to turn a deaf ear to our grievances. In solidarity with people who continue to suffer as a result of the president's failed war in Iraq, we will forego the standard excessive American Thanksgiving feast for a simple Iraqi meal. We will organize food and monetary donations for a convoy coming through Crawford to take to New Orleans to those who continue to struggle to rebuild their lives. Friday, we will dedicate the new memorial garden at the Crawford Peace House. This will include the carved stone that was started this summer. Saturday, we will engage in a demonstration, march, rally, caravan, details to be announced. We will disband on Sunday to return to our local communities to continue our campaign to end the war and bring our troops home. We are requesting each organization to collect donations and non-perishable food or funds from their membership and supporters, as well as post information about this event on their websites. We must keep the war at the forefront of public consciousness this holiday season. One more death is too many. Tomorrow is too late. Let us come together in community to renew our commitment to end the suffering now. The Crawford Peace House will secure access to Tonkawa Falls State Park for camping if needed. Shuttles will also be needed. You can contact the Crawford Peace House at 254-486-0099 for more information. You can check the Crawford Peace House website for updated information about the event. Please let folks if you're coming. Again, that was a news release from Iraq Veterans Against the War, Veterans for Peace, Code Pink, Gold Star Families for Peace, and the Crawford Peace House. Again, the number at the Crawford Peace House is 254-486-0099. This has been In the News for November 16th, 2005. I'll talk to you next time.